Hey guys, welcome to the Quick Talk Podcast, the only show handcrafted for small business entrepreneurs looking to explode their business. It's time to get your mind right so you can get your grind right. Are you ready?
You have to be most concerned about the journey. We get hung up on the mountaintop experience. We get hung up on the destination, but the most important part of it is the journey.
Hey guys, Josh here, bringing you no fluff, straight to the point business insights from some of the business success stories from all over the world. And today we have a very unique guest, my actual business partner and friend, Chris Phillips from Fenton, Michigan, born and raised. Chris has a crazy awesome story. Even the way that we met was awesome. He's been an entrepreneur even as a kid, kind of just like I was. I think it was always destined that we would meet. And one of the interesting things about this show and some of the consulting work I do is people continuously ask me, should I get a business partner? What does that look like? A guy wants to be my business partner. What do I do? Point me in the right direction. And it's a very complicated question. And in general, I typically tell people, run. You don't need a business partner. And in a lot of cases, that might be true. But in our case, we've had really a great partnership. And I'm going to let Chris tell a little bit about his own story and kind of introduce himself. I know Chris, when he was 5 years old, would sell painted rocks door to door. I mean, I think a lot of entrepreneurs started young, and Chris was one of them. Chris, how are you? And tell us about yourself.
I got started selling rocks door to door and kind of got bit by that bug and never looked back. Through the years, I've had too many jobs to count. But what always pulled me back was being the captain of my own ship and being having that entrepreneurial spirit and just wanting to go and just make my way and do it my own way. And I got into this type of work thinking that I was going to be able to make a lot of money without a lot of work. And through trials and tribulations, I figured it out. It can't be done. You've got to really put your head down and work hard. So,
well, I can relate to that firsthand. I mean, I think when you're young, you have a lot of zeal, a lot of ambition, but the work ethic and the discipline kind of lags behind a few years. At least for me, it did.
Yeah. Yes, for me too. I stubbed my toe and bumped my head along the way.
Yeah, I always say pain is an excellent teacher, right?
Absolutely.
Well, Chris, you know, one of the interesting things about you, in my opinion, is that people don't know you exist. And Birds Beware, people in the cleaning industry know about Birds Beware. They know about, you know, Send Jim, our software company. They know about Window Wealth, my ebook. But they don't realize that all of those things exist only because I had you as a partner by my side. You've been way behind the scenes. You've never wanted to be in the spotlight at all, but you're just plugging along in the background, doing all kinds of huge stuff to make all of our businesses succeed. I know you have a heart to help people, and you do a lot of consulting and coaching. Tell us a little bit about what it's like to kind of let me be more in the front and in the limelight a little bit and go under the radar. Is that something that you're just more comfortable with? How did that happen with us?
Well, I think when we first started talking about bringing our companies together, Josh, I knew at that time, and I prayed about it, and God really kind of directed me that I was going to have to be first mate. And so I would tell people out there that are looking for partners, typically they are looking for somebody like themselves, and you can't have that. You've got to have somebody that's going to look at the big picture, develop things, and then the other guy, which happened to be me, just gets to do everything else and has to be able to humble himself and be able to just, just survive on that level. So that's, I think, the most important thing is you have to have people that complement each other rather than two of the same. Because if you have two of the same people, one of them's not necessary.
That is incredible quote and absolutely true. I 100% agree with that. Me and you are very different. We have been from the start, and you know, you have the things that you're good at, and I have the things that I'm good at, and I have the things I'm bad at. And the reason I think our relationship works is you're really good at the stuff I'm bad at, and I'm pretty good at some of the stuff you're bad at, and that makes it fit together a little bit better.
Absolutely, absolutely. That's what complements, our business partnership, and it's very important.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about some of the struggles we had, because I want to be transparent with people. I want to be honest with people. And we all know that most of the listeners are going to relate anyway, right? Because we've been through some interesting times. Specifically, let's talk about, Birds Beware, our cleaning company. Like Chris said, we merged two existing companies, two different types of visions, two different ways of doing things. And when we did that, we had to kind of pick one. We had to give way to one vision and one way of doing things and one goal. And I think for us, it happened kind of organically and naturally because Chris was a huge blessing to me from the beginning in the fact that he gave me permission to go get it and to get after it. He basically gave me the nod and said, Josh, I got your back. Go get it. He knew I was hungry and he knew that I had some big visions and he let me do it. There was no resistance. And if you're going to have a business partner, you can't be having someone giving you pushback, right? You got to have someone pushing you in the back forward, right? Like pushing you over the goal line. And that's always what, Chris, you've been to me. And I appreciate that. But let's talk about some of the struggles that come along with growth, right? Because our business partnership succeeded. And pretty much the whole time we had rapid growth. And my God, was that stressful.
Yeah, but it was a lot of fun too. I just knew going into it that I was going to, if it called for me to do gutters, and clean them up by hand, I was just going to have to go do that. So I would give you the ability to work on the systems that needed to be built. I knew going into this that if I was going to be on, the captain of my own ship, it was going to be a small boat. And I fortunately had the vision and the humility to understand even though you're 16 years younger than me, to just humble myself and let you build the systems, give you the space, and do whatever it took to give you the ability to do those things. And I'm glad I did. It paid off handsomely. And the most beautiful thing about it is we got to the point where we didn't have to come into work every day to do the work that was before us. Josh had built systems and it ran itself, and that's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had financial stresses, employee stresses, personality stresses. We had a lot of different stresses, but here's something I want to say to everybody that has a small company and they're listening to this and they're trying to figure out how this relates to them. When you're in the early days of trying to automate and systemize your business, sometimes it feels like you're not really doing anything. It doesn't feel like you're doing really important stuff when you're, working on a PDF or a Word doc or some sort of flow chart to develop some procedure or process for some part of your company. It's not something that's really particularly sexy to do. And from your perspective, Chris, you would go out and deal with the angry customers and do all this stuff that I needed freedom from to be able to focus on the systems. And when it's in the early stages, there's a huge trust factor that goes along with that, right? Because Chris didn't really know exactly what I was doing. He knew I was doing stuff, and he was going and doing physically hard stuff, trusting and hoping that what I was doing was really going to work out. And it did, but I mean, what did that feel like when we were going through that to you?
Well, there's a lot of times where you get resentments and, you're like, why are you doing this? And, you have to have a tremendous amount of trust for people. Josh would lock himself in his basement in his room and work on things. And, you're out there busting your hump and, making the money and you're wondering, well, I hope he's working on it. But I did have the confidence that I knew that you were self-motivated enough that you were going to get these things done. And it did pay off. But there's, you have to have the trust and you have to, have faith that it's going to get done. And in our case, it did. And it was a blessing.
Absolutely. And I know that a lot of partnerships fail. I mean, that's just a fact. I'm not telling people, listen to this. Yeah, go get a business partner. It's a scary thing to get a business partner. It's like a marriage and there is total transparency. You can't hide stuff from your business partner. It's literally an intimate, very, very, It's a very great thing if it works, and I can see how it could be an absolutely horrific thing if it didn't work. You know, if you glue two pieces of paper together and then later try to rip them apart, that's kind of what tearing a business related partnership apart would be like. Like, it doesn't work. It's very messy.
For me, I'm more of a fly by the seat of my pants kind of guy, and so I've got to admit it was difficult for me to wonder what you were working on. And is it really necessary? Gosh, we could make so much more money if you would just get out in the field with me and run a crew. It took a lot of faith.
Yeah, it's been an incredible journey. And, you know, I was talking to a guy last week, Chris, or actually it was Saturday. Today's Monday. And he was asking me, you know, should I get a business partner? I want to get a business partner. And usually this question comes up when people are super stressed out, they're starting to panic, and they want someone to come save the day. And I totally get that feeling. I understand, you know, where people are coming from, but I think that is a recipe for disaster, because no one's going to come in your business and save the day. And here's another example of a guy I talked to last week said, you know, he's got a tiny company and he's trying to scale it and get going. And I said, look, you need to do this. You need to do this. You need to get out. You need to be doing, you know, this type of marketing and that type of marketing. And he's like, well, you know, couldn't I, you know, hire someone to do that? And I said, look, you know, the reason you're asking that is you want to hire someone because you don't want to do it, not because you need to be focused on something more important, right? And there's a distinction there. And I think little companies think that their business partner will come in like Superman and just save the day. But you see, the problem is both partners are waiting for the other one to save the day. And that's why it eventually blows up in your face.
Right. And I would caution the listeners too. I mean, we had a very, very unique situation. We got married a week apart. Our wives work together. Josh is an A-type personality. I work well with A-type personalities. We blended well together. And I don't think that is typical. I wasn't looking, you have to be motivated. I just needed somebody that could do the things that I couldn't really do. I mean, if it wasn't for Josh and our business, I would still probably have a very small company, because I wouldn't have gotten off the ladder, and I wouldn't have, after everything that I had to do, start at 10 o'clock at night and start writing down systems and business plans and things like that. I would have just been happy with, you know, making the money, and I'd still be, you know, self-employed.
Yeah, and I can relate to this to the same way, because, you know, I wanted to work on systems. I wanted to build an automated company out. But if I'm running a crew, if I'm in the field for year after year after year, it's not an easy thing to keep working after you go home until 2 a.m. to do that. Because it takes a long time to really build out an infrastructure for your company. It can't happen overnight. So I'm a little bit lucky. I had a head start. People don't know that. They don't understand that I had a huge advantage in having a really solid business partnership with me for very early in our company. I was only in year 3, I think, when we brought our companies together. And that did give me a leg up, you know, and I want to be transparent with that.
No, one of the key things that I think we're leaving out here is the money aspect of it, where we were in similar situations where we could just take $500 a week and pour everything back into the company. And we did that for years. We stuck to our guns and we reinvested all that extra money back into the business.
That is a gigantic point. And I did an interview on Quick Talk with Chris Lambertini's, and he was even more hardcore than me and you were. $500 a week is just nothing to me. And it was hard for your family and for mine. And we did take that salary for years. And, you know, at the end of the year, we'd usually take an owner draw because we'd have some excess profits and whatnot. But during the season, we were really focused and it was lean. Chris Lambertini's would pay himself like $0 a week and his company was doing $100,000 a month. And the point is this: one of the biggest reasons small businesses fail is that they don't fuel their growth. They don't finance their own growth. You have to pay money to grow your company, period. You will not get out of that or get around it. You have to literally purchase customers. It costs cash. It costs reinvestment in equipment and supplies and trucks and employees. And you have to put that out there to work for you. And People just don't. They're scared to, you know, send 100 postcards out and spend $50. You need to spend $5,000. And some of these guys suck all of the cash out of their business and they choke it.
Absolutely. Or their partner's their wife, and she has different designs on where the money should go. I've talked to a number of people that, hey, I should really be reinvesting this money back in here, but my wife isn't feeling the same way. So it's tough. You've got to really stick to your guns, and you have to have a plan.
And you got to have a clear vision. And one of my things in my ebook that I talk about is beginning with the end in mind. I didn't invent that concept, by the way, but you need to start your business with a clear understanding of exactly where you're trying to take it. You know, what does it look like? What does it smell like? When you close your eyes and you envision your company and you walk into the office, how many people are in there? You got a phone sales team and cubicles. You got 15 trucks in the driveway. What's going on? And, you know, and then reverse engineer backwards from that point to today. And having that focused vision makes it easier to make money decisions, you know, while you're still in the process. Listen up. Now, remember, being self-employed is not the same as being a business owner. And if you are looking for a way to automate your business and build yourself a clear path to the dream that keeps eluding you, then check out my online small business bootcamp. It's a go at your own pace. It's power packed. It's a mind bomb. It will help you understand exactly how to architecture out and systematize your small business right now so you can finally be back in control. Go to windowwealth.com right now and check it out. Use the code MINDBOMB to save 30%. It's time to invest in yourself. Well, you know, let's talk a little bit more about you and your story. I mean, you've had several different companies. You've always made good money. I mean, even when you were young in your 20s, you could go out and make $1,000 a day. You've always been a natural salesperson. You sell like it's nobody's business. You genuinely care about people, and they know that you do. It's genuine. And so it just works for you. You're awesome with customers. You're awesome with people. Tell us a little bit about your story, and tell us a little bit about some of the struggles you had when you were on your own, you know, and some of the mistakes you might have made.
Well, Josh, I don't live to work. I work to live. And I've kind of always been that way until I had a family. And then now I'm having to, I better start saving for the future. I better start planning better. My biggest challenges were just to be able to motivate myself past what it takes for an entrepreneur to get over the hump and not just being self-employed. So, yeah, I could go out and make money, but then I would coast. And I think that, you know, that's one of the reasons a lot of businesses fail is we just tend to get lazy. I wanted to make a lot of money the easiest way possible so I could enjoy my life and enjoy my lifestyle. And it just doesn't work that way when you're starting a new business. You've got to be all in or just doesn't work.
Yeah, it just flounders. And Dave Ramsey says you need to live like no one else today so that later you can live like no one else, right? And you can, yeah. You can live for your family and your free time. And that's at the core of my bones, what I want more than anything is to have freedom of time. And so even though I'd work 100 hours a week, it was because I wanted freedom of time. So I was willing to live like no one else now so that I'd have a chance later to live like no one else. I also remember you telling me a story about, you know, you would hire someone. They weren't good at doing, you know, pressure cleaning. I think you had a pressure cleaning company at the time, and you weren't patient with them or something. And you would say, get out of the way. Give me the thing back. You're fired.
You know, or they'd be standing around, you know, and you'd have to tell them everything to do. It's like, think, please. I'm up here. You can hand me that. I don't have to ask you for it. Please. It drives me nuts. And so, no, I'm not a good coach. And you need to be able to invest in your people. And that's one thing I've learned through this experience is that you have to, you have to take the time and listen to people. You have to care about them. You have to know what their hobbies are, what their dreams are, what their wife's name is, what their kids' names are. If you don't, they just become, you know, another body. And people see right through that.
I totally agree, of course. And company culture is critical. And listen up, guys. Your company culture starts with you. If you're the only guy, You got to be the culture. If you have one helper that's part-time, that's your culture. You and that guy. And the way that you engage each other, and the way that you work together, and the tone and the attitude, and is the glass half full, is it half empty, all that stuff is culture. And it doesn't seem like much when it's really, really small. But when you put 10 people, 15, 20 people, it sets an entire personality type for your company, right? And it bleeds into your customers' lives, and it bleeds back into your life. And it can really set you up for success or for failure. I just talked to Kurt Kempton last week and did an interview. He's obsessed with company culture. He's obsessed with investing in his people, because that is the roundabout backdoor way to perform high levels of service, to get really profitable dollars in the door, and to ultimately make money for yourself. If you invest in your people, then they in turn are nice to your customers, and the money comes back into the company, of which a percentage will go into your pocket. So I totally agree. I think you should give people permission to not be perfect, and then coach them through the process. You don't want to give up on people too early, although sometimes you need to be decisive and cut them loose. In general, give people permission to fail and to not be perfect, because just learning how to delegate and let go of the reins a little bit, it can be painful for someone who's a really good technician, right? I mean, Chris, you did a really good job at house washing. You always went above and beyond. In fact, me and you would argue about stuff. I say, Chris, look, the customers love us. Let's leave. We're done. You know, and you're like, no, I'm going to do the backpack. I got to do their patio furniture. And for someone that's like that, you know, it's hard for you to let someone else wash a house, because they're going to suck at it compared to you, right? But if you never delegate, you're never going to get broken free out of that job role.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
Okay, well, Chris, you know, what's your favorite quote?
More of a motto than a quote. And I don't know who came up with this, but I know that we both use this. And I just love it. It's great for life and it's great for business. It's just, we run towards problems, not away from them.
We run towards problems and not away from them. Absolutely. And just as a caveat, I was very passionate about that. I would always beat that into our guys' heads, but I would always make you be the guy to run towards the problem.
Well, look at, you know, window cleaning, pressure washing, you know, as in life, you're going to run into a ton of things. You know, lots of things can go wrong, but how you react to it is key. And if you can run towards those problems, not only will your customers love you and be impressed, but you'll save so much time, you know, hiding from that fear of the unknown. And most of the time, it's not a problem. But we can become paralyzed with fear if we just worry about it. And it's a great way to live. It really is.
Well, that goes great into the next question, which is, you know, what role does fear play in the minds of business owners? I battle fear all the time. I mean, you and me are very, you know, business partners still right now. So we're working on some really big stuff in the background that people don't know about. And, you know, I always got that knot in my stomach. And, you know, I always say I do my best work with a knot in my stomach. But it wasn't always that way. I think I definitely had some fear paralysis. Here's the question. What role does fear play in the minds of average business owners?
I can remember, you know, a time, you know, in my 20s where I was just living in such fear that it was hard for me to get out of bed. You know, fear of failure, fear of the unknown. You know, look at that. That stuff is straight out of hell. And the devil knows that if you can get you fearful, you'll do nothing. And that's what he wants. You'll isolate yourself and become paralyzed. That's why it's so important to run towards those problems. And when you do that, you'll find out 9 out of 10 times it's no big deal. You know, if you want to succeed in life, you've got to have faith. I love the Bible verse Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see.
Absolutely. And think about that. Faith is assurance of what you cannot see. That is exactly begin with the end in mind. Being able to smell and see and feel your business as it will be at some predetermined point in the future or undetermined point in the future, being able to see it where it's real to you, and your wife might think you're nuts, and your brother-in-law might think you're nuts, and sometimes you might
think
you're nuts. Yeah, everyone thinks I'm nuts. It's real to me, and I think it's important to spend time daydreaming about what is it going to look like? What is it going to be like? What is the culture like? You know, what is my role? How do people respond to me when I walk through the doors? Do they respect me? Are they scared of me or do they respect me? Am I a leader or am I a manager? Dream about what your company is going to look like at the end when you've crossed the finish line, and be obsessed with that vision. And just like you said with that Bible verse, it's assurance of what you can't see.
Are you looking for a simple way to get more sales, more referrals, and strengthen your customer loyalty? Look no further than SendJim.com. It was handcrafted for you as a powerful tool that will automate your follow-ups after the sale. Imagine being able to stay in contact with your customers all year long by pushing a single button on your smartphone. This is a space-age warp speed technology, and it will eliminate the chaos inside your business caused by trying to properly follow up with all of your leads and customers. Sign up for a free trial with no credit card required at sendjim.com right now. What are you waiting for?
Absolutely. You've got to be able to visualize it. If you've done any type of sports, half the time that you spend in your mind thinking is a part of training. If you can visualize how to make that ball go, you know, drop through the basket, if you can visualize how to land that backflip on skis or whatever you're doing, you have to be able to visualize it.
Yeah, I hear a lot about that in pro baseball. I mean, some baseball pitchers will sit with their eyes closed and just think about themselves pitching. And they'll prep for an entire game, literally just visualizing themselves throwing strikes. And that might sound weird or cuckoo to some people, but what you focus on, you find, and it will manifest and become reality. That's why if you focus on fear, things typically will catch on fire and burn to the ground, right? And it is true. What you focus on, you do find. You know, Chris, why do you think so many small businesses fail?
You know, I've read it on Bloomberg that 8 out of 10 entrepreneurs fail within the first 18 months. And the reason that they give is that they run out of cash. And I can say that as well to a lot of those businesses that I had. However, in really thinking about that question, I think it goes deeper than that. And I feel like the primary reason that my businesses have failed in the past is I did not understand my customer. Look, your customer is the key to your success, and understanding their pain, their behaviors, their dreams, their values, and what type of job and what they're trying to accomplish will make or break your business. You've got to ask good questions and you've got to listen. It will save you years of heartbreak and thousands of dollars. I think an additional thing that people don't understand is what their value proposition is. You need to know what makes you different from the other people out there. And then you have to spend a ton of time, and I know you and I have done this, of thinking and planning out and being able to communicate that in a short, concise way. But if you're willing to work hard in the beginning, you can build a system that runs without you even being there. In this line of work, you're working the hardest when you're making the least, and then you're making the most when you're working the least, and that is a beautiful thing.
That is absolutely true. When we were making the most money, I mean, we were having, I think, $30,000, $40,000 weeks. When we were starting to really roll with the cleaning thing, we weren't really doing anything. I mean, we didn't have to. We were around. We drank coffee. We'd go play ping pong. We'd start talking about our software company and we'd start moving on to the next project. But that could only happen because we front-end loaded the first few years of our business with huge amounts of hours, right?
Right. Nobody sees that. They just see the success. And you have to be careful with your employees because they'll see that and they have no idea what goes into that. And that's another reason you have to spend the time and get to know them and let them know who you are and what it's taken to get where you're at.
Yeah, and we've always had a policy of transparency. This is a personal preference thing, but we've always been open about numbers, revenue, what the goals are, what we're doing per crew, what the crew hour is, what everybody can make, the pay structures for the different job titles that we had. I always laid it right on the table.
And I'm glad that we were transparent. A lot of companies will just not share that, but
I think it's important just to have that, you know, that team mentality, and people can understand what they're working towards and what the possibilities are.
You know, speaking of quotes, you actually gave one of my favorite quotes. Everyone always sees the wine, but they never see the crushing of the grapes.
Absolutely.
And that is incredibly powerful, because, you know, people look at Mark Cuban, and they'll say, man, look at that guy. He's a billionaire. It's so lucky. Man, that guy's lucky. I wish I could be like him. I wish I could be a billionaire. They weren't with him when he was eating ketchup sandwiches for 8 years, right? Living in an apartment with like 10 guys, right? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So there's no substitute for hard work. You have to be most concerned about the journey. We get hung up on the mountaintop experience. We get hung up on the destination. But the most important part of it is the journey, the everyday drudgery. If we can find joy in that, then we'll be successful.
Wow, that's really profound. And I definitely struggle with that myself. I'm very focused on the destination to the point where you almost can't enjoy the small wins that you get along the way, which is really crazy. So hopefully everybody listening out there can take that to heart. I think that's really good advice. Chris, let me ask you a question here. You're not a huge reader, I don't think, but I know that you do read, and when you do read, I see these giant, like super complex, crazy old books and stuff. And I'll be reading like a business blog and you're reading some weird theological something, something, but what's the best book you've read in the last year?
Well, Josh, by far it's the Bible. I spend a lot of time reading the Word, and I spent most of my earlier years not believing in anything, and without a faith and an absolute truth, my life was just a mess. When I was about 30, a friend of mine challenged me to read the New Testament, and I did it really grudgingly. But the more I read, the more I just was like, wow, I truly believe it's the best sales book ever written, because what it teaches you is to care for others. And this is something you can't fake. It also puts to death that great paralyzer fear. If you know the end of the story and you know that you win, then who cares? You can get up every morning and enjoy the journey. And it also is the only book that I've ever read that is living. And what I mean by that is I can read the same verse 10 times over and it hits me for where I'm at in that particular day. It continues to just to benefit me and my business. I truly believe that.
Yeah, and I love what you said about when you know the end of the story, you know that ultimately it's going to be okay. That's funny because, guys, your business does not, it should not be who you are. It should be what you do, right? And sometimes we forget that. And your identity doesn't have to be wrapped up in your business. And if the business doesn't work, you can start another one, right? When I was 18, I told my dad, hey, if 9 out of 10 small businesses fail, I want to get my first 9 out of the way as fast as I can.
Right.
I want to say this in closing, Chris. You know, would you agree that if your small business is working correctly, you should be able to hand the keys of that bad boy over to your grandma, right? Who doesn't know anything about your business. And it should still profit and grow month over month indefinitely, right?
Absolutely. That is the definition of having a business. So many people out there are self-employed. They're one fall away, they're one injury or sickness away from being unemployed. You got to get off the ladder. You got to humble yourself, and you got to be able to build a system that will flourish without you.
That's right. And you can't always be the quarterback, guys. You got to start trying to be the coach and let someone else be the quarterback. Learn to delegate and set yourself free. Chris, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. I think you shared a lot of really cool insight. And one of the number one questions I get is how does partnerships work, and should I get a partner? And hopefully we've given some people some good insight into kind of our partnership and what that's been like for us.
Thanks, Josh.
Hey, thanks for hanging out, friends. And from all of us here at the Quick Talk Podcast team, we hope you love today's show. We hope that you were inspired to become a doer and not just a listener. Apply what you've heard today in your own business and watch things change for the better. Lastly, remember that all the money in the world can't save your soul. Seek first the kingdom of God, my friends. We'll see you next time.
For more information about the Quick Talk podcast or Joshua's other businesses, visit our website, quicktalkpodcast.com. Have a blessed day.